Good to be here today. Always a blessing when we can gather together, worship our Lord, look into His Word. The name of the message today is We Know. We know. Scriptures tell God's preachers to comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. And the only way that you can be comforted and the preacher can bring comfort is to preach Christ and Him crucified. To let us know what we have in Him. And to bring to remembrance the things that He's taught us. On Wednesday nights for the last 3 weeks, we've been studying the book of 1 John. And I brought forth that this precious little book brings forth the fact of the humanity of Christ and also speaks of the deity of Christ and also speaks of the fellowship that the believer has with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've also considered that the believer has fellowship with the brethren through the Lord Jesus Christ. And also that this book, 1 John, is a book about assurance. It's a book about assurance. And the fact that the believer has eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now there are some things that the believer in Christ has been taught of God. And this is what I'd like us to look at today as we study what the Scriptures say. The author of this little book is John, the son of Zebedee. He was an apostle, and he's also the author of the Gospel of John and the Revelation. He was a fisherman, just a common man. Just a common man. I've told you oftentimes, my father-in-law is a fisherman. Just a common guy. So when I think of John and Peter and James, I just think they're just like my father-in-law. Common people, but they were saved by the grace of God. They were saved by the grace of God. He's referred to in the Gospel of John as the Gospel whom Jesus loves. He never puts his own name in there. He never draws attention to himself. But he does pen in the disciple whom Jesus loves. One commentator brings forth that this book, this little wee book, and the style of the Gospel of John is very similar. They're both written in simple Greek. Simple Greek. Which would make sense, wouldn't it? John's a fisherman. And when I say common and simple, and when the Scriptures say foolish, God has saved the foolish of the world, it doesn't mean we're dumb or stupid. It just means we're common people. So it would make sense that this Gospel, the Gospel of John in this book, would be written in just simple Greek. And he uses contrasting figures such as light and darkness and life and death and truth and lies and love and hate. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 6. We'll set it up with this. The Scriptures proclaim that God's people are taught of God. We're taught of God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, we know. We have the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to us, don't we? Because it's not something we could learn on our own, is it? And even what we learn as we grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we who believe acknowledge that we could never come to this understanding on our own. We're taught of God, the wondrous things of Christ. And as we grow in the grace and the knowledge and the truth, we become more and more enamored with the Savior, beloved. We fall more and more in love with the Lord as He reveals Himself more and more to us. And we want to do what John did, don't we? And just lay our head upon his breast and just sit there. Or like the Gadarene demoniac, and he's in his right mind and he's clothed with pictures, regeneration and the righteousness of Christ, being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And what's he doing? He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's just sitting. And that's what we want to do. Just sit at the feet of our Lord. Just listen. We love him. And we're taught by God the things of Christ. Through the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit of God reveals precious truths to us. And we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And we're taught some things, aren't we? We're taught some things. Look at this in John chapter 6, starting in verse 44. It says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So no one can come to Christ unless the Father draws him. And he does that to his people, doesn't he? The scripture says he makes us willing in the day of his power, of his power. It is written in the prophets, that's the Old Testament, right? "They shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." And we know that they didn't have the New Testament when the Lord's bringing these words forth, right? So Paul and James and Peter, they all preached out of the Old Testament, beloved. And who did they preach? Christ. Christ. But notice that. It is written in the prophets, "And they shall all be taught of God." And every believer says, "I'm taught of God. He's revealed Christ to me. And everything I know has come from the Lord." Has come from the Lord. "Every man therefore that hath heard, has been given ears to hear, and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me." All through Christ and Christ alone. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father." What? "But by me." It's just Scripture backing up Scripture. "Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Now there's a little section to underline if you like to do that. Look at that. "Hath everlasting life." "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." I love these little words, "hath" and "shall." They just make my heart jump. I love them. It's wonderful. "Hath everlasting life." Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? You have everlasting life. So I'd like us to examine some of the truths that John brings forth. Let's now turn to 1 John, that John brings forth in this little book. Some truths that God teaches his blood-bought, born-again people. And this is in no way exhaustive. This is in no way exhaustive. Let's turn to 1 John. Remember, too, we'll read verses 1 to 4 to start out, which is what we've looked at so far in our lessons. Remember that John was not only an eyewitness to the things of Christ, but he was an ear witness. Not only did he see Christ and all the miracles that he's done, but he heard his voice. He heard him. Look at this marvelous truth brought forth here. "That which was from the beginning, from eternity, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes." Notice he's heard him, he's an ear witness, and he's seen him, he's an eyewitness. And this, of course, is speaking to the apostles, "which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life." There's another title for our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is here called the Word of Life. We know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we know later on in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that's the same one being spoken of right here. "For the life was manifested." Now he's going to bring forth his humanity. So he's brought forth his deity. Now he's bringing forth his humanity, beloved. "For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness." Again, he says we've seen it, and now we bear witness of it. See, a preacher can't tell you about Christ unless he's born again. That's why a whole bunch of churches out there, they don't talk about Christ, because they don't know Christ. They don't know him. "And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life." There's only eternal life in Christ and Christ alone. "Which was with the Father in eternity," the Word, right? The second person of the Trinity, "and was manifest unto us." The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Look what he brings it forth, because again he's bringing forth the humanity of Christ, "that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now, the believer in Christ, now we look by faith. We see Christ by faith, don't we? And we hear the Word, we hear our shepherd speak to us through the Word of God. By faith, we trust and rest in Him and Him alone. And now John writes these things, it says in verse 4, that your joy may be full. And what is one of the ways to have our joy be full? Well, one of the ways is to contemplate the wonderful things that the Lord has done for us. Contemplate the wonderful things the Lord... And then also to contemplate the wonderful things the Lord has taught us. Things that we know. things that we know. We didn't know them at one time. And as we look at this, think of that too. There was a time when we didn't know any of this. But God's people have been taught some things. We've been taught some things, beloved. And this is what I'd like us to contemplate today. Some things that we know as believers. Some things that we know as God's born-again, blood-washed people. And think upon this also as later on as we take communion. Think about this. Because we take communion, we who believe take communion, don't we? Think of how God's taught you these things. Think of how He's revealed these things to you. It'll make you rejoice even more at the table. Oh, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And remember the wondrous sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ made on Calvary's cross to redeem His people from their souls, to save our eternal souls by the shedding of His precious blood. Now, I'd like us to consider from this book how John, the beloved apostle, makes reference to certain truths that the children of God know for certain. We know these things for certain. And I believe that through seeing and knowing that it is God who has revealed these truths to His people, and knowing that we who believe know these things, that it'll bring us great joy and comfort. Because I don't know about you, but I need to be comforted. I like to be joyful, and I don't believe in mountaintop Christianity where you're always bouncing off the top of the ceiling. That's just not a reality, is it? Because we have hills and valleys. Now, what's the quickest way for us to get out of a valley? Think about what the Lord's done for us. Hey, think about how He carries us through these things. But we still suffer through the veil of tears and sorrow, don't we? Let's bring it home. David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God." David was down, and he was depressed. And David was a man after God's own heart. Hope thou in God. See, he turned it back again, looking to the Lord. Looking to the Lord. So let's look at these things that the believer knows. John brings forth, the first scripture I'd like us to look at is found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Brings forth the fact that we who are God's people know Christ. We know Him. Let's read verses 1 to 4. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin," well, we're all sinners, aren't we? We're going to sin. "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Praise God. Praise God, I have an advocate to you. I'm so thankful. Because I'm a sinner. I'm a saved sinner, but I'm still a sinner. I praise God that I have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. "He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now know what it says here. "And hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Well, we're here upon this earth, beloved. We who are believers, we struggle with inward sin. We struggle with doubts. We struggle with fear. We struggle in trials. We struggle with attacks from the enemy. And John masterfully brings forth, this is how we discern daily by experience that we are coming to know Him. If we bear in mind and observe and practice the teachings, precepts, and words of our Lord Jesus Christ, His words and His commandments, in regard to faith, love, forgiveness, humility, works of charity, kindness, giving, witnessing, and all that relates to our daily walk, beloved. Marvel at these wondrous words here. The saint of God has Christ revealed to them, and they know Him. They know Him. They know the love of Christ. And the words of Christ are what? Our rule of life, aren't they? Oh my. Our next scripture is found in verse 5, same chapter. And will we see here that the believer knows we are in Him? Remember what John declared, that He is the vine and what? We're the branches. We're the branches. This is something that the believer knows. But so look at verse 5. "But whosoever keepeth this word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we," or we know, "that we are in Him." In Him. In Christ. Ask yourself, Do you treasure the Word of God? Do you treasure the Word of God? The believer in Christ treasures the words of the Master. Treasures the words of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him, the believer has the love of God. In Christ and Christ alone. How do we know that we are in Christ? The Scriptures proclaim, we love Him. Do you love Christ? Do you love Him? I don't mean just with lip service. I mean, do we really love Him? Now again, think back before the Lord saved us. Ooh, we didn't love Him, did we? But think of how we love Him now. We know, don't we? We know we're in Him. We know we're in Him, beloved. Scriptures here proclaim we love Him, we love His Word, and we love His will being done in our lives. We love His presence, beloved, with us, and we marvel at the fact that He will never leave us nor forsake us, don't we? We know that we are in Him. We know that. The born-again believer knows this. And you cannot separate Christ and His teachings or Christ and His commandments. Therefore, the believer, what? Loves the Word of God. We love the Word, all of it. We love it. And we love the Christ who the Word proclaims. Because it speaks of Him. It speaks of Him. Next, we know something else. We know that we're in perilous times. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. We know. We know this. It is the last time. All the apostles were now dead when John wrote this. John was the last of them. Perilous times were now coming. False teachers and heretics were rising up in the midst of the church. And the apostle cautions the believers in Christ, who he calls his little children, that perilous times were going to come upon them. Perilous times were going to come upon them. Also think of this statement, in light of all things are accomplished. Nothing is prophesied, typified, or promised concerning redemption that is not fulfilled. It's all done. Christ did it all. Nothing remains except the coming of Christ to gather His own. This is the last dispensation. If the eternity of God's kingdom is kept in our minds also, both prior to Calvary and afterwards, the time after, or the time between Christ's death and Christ's return will appear to us as a moment, as a day with the Lord. Because one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. It's just a moment. It's just a moment, beloved. And from the day of our Lord's death, we have moved steadily toward that day of apostasy and the day of His return. And these are indeed the last day. Now let's go over to chapter 3. Chapter 3. For our next truth, the believer knows that we shall be like Him. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I won't sit there, but we could sit right there. The eternal love of God to His people. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. The world does not recognize God's saints as the sons of God, just as it did not recognize who Christ was. And while we are here upon this earth, we who believe, the believer in Christ is subject to many temptations, many trials, many sorrows. And we are made aware of our own sinfulness, aren't we? We're made aware of that. Real quick. We don't have to look at other people. We already know we're sinners. And we, as we're convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, as He shows us our sinfulness, but we marvel in this fact that for the born-again believer, that now at this very moment, we are the sons of God. It makes you marvel. It makes you marvel. And then let us marvel in the fact that we shall be changed. We know this from the Word of God, the Word of His promise, that when Christ comes again, we shall be changed into His glorious image and we will behold His glory. The Scripture says this, Father, I will, our Master speaking, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, that they may behold my glory. In Philippians, turn if you would to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Oh, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Look at this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And these are some things a believer knows. And think about this as we're slugging through this world, because it's tough. There's things that pop up on us and we don't even know they're coming. But God does. Nothing catches Him by surprise. Nothing. Look at this. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for His return, don't we? Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He's able to do this. Why? Because He's Almighty God. And He has all power. So tie that in with what we read over there in 1 John chapter 3. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Paul's writing about the same thing. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 3. Let's consider the next truth that John brings forth, that the believer in Christ knows. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now remember what John's writing about here. Death, how are we born, beloved? We're born dead in trespasses and sins, aren't we? Dead. That means graveyard dead in Ephesians there. It means there's no life in us spiritually. We're physically alive, but we're spiritually dead. But oh, the believer has passed from death unto life. All by the power of Almighty God. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And let's look at this. Let's look at this. And how do we know? How do we know this is so? The Scripture's going to tell us. Look at this. Because we love the brethren who are loved by Christ. Oh my, we love those whom our Savior loves, beloved. This is wonderful. Look at this, verses 14 to 16. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We know that we passed from death to life. This is something believers know. Now think of before you were saved. And my goodness, I don't even think, did you love people who profess Christ? I didn't want to go there. We didn't, did we? Didn't even want to be around them. But who do you want to be around now that you're born again? Who do you want to be with? Who do you pray for, even if they don't know you're praying for them? Huh? Who do you love? You love God, you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you love His people, don't you? You love those whom He shed His blood for. You love the brethren. You didn't before. Brother Tim and I have talked often, we didn't have a care in the world before the Lord saved us. I didn't think about church or anything like that, think about God's people. It's the last thing on our minds. Well, it sure is different now, isn't it? Oh, we pass from death to life. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, beloved. Yeah. Now we have new loves. We love the gospel. We love the Bible. We love the Savior. We love the brethren. What a work of God. So that's not something we could do ourselves either. We know that, don't we? But we know. This is something we know as believers. We know. We know we pass from death to life. And this is real, genuine love for the brethren. It's not lip service. This is real, genuine love. Heartfelt, genuine love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is evidence, beloved, that we're born again. This is evidence that we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. That we've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because no one in their natural state, natural man, no one who's dead in trespasses and sins loves the brethren. Now we love ourselves then. And see how it changes? It's incredible. No one sincerely loves the brethren unless they're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. It's God's love which has been shed abroad in our hearts. And it's a miracle. And we know it. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And this love is the exact opposite of man's natural love, which again is self-love. Note in the verse, he that loveth not. Look at this. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abide in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And remember, they had to do that sometimes back then. They did that. They did that. Let's look at the sixth truth to be found in verse 24. John brings forth that believer in Christ knows this truth. That Christ abides in us. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now John has been bringing forth in this chapter that faith and conduct cannot be separated. And belief and obedience are always found in the same heart. When the Holy Spirit of God governs our hearts and our lives, then it is evident that Christ dwells in us, beloved. As one grace preacher brought forth, whatever good works are done by us proceeds from the grace of His Spirit who dwells in us. The next truth that John brings forth is that believer in Christ knows the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We'll read verses 1 to 6 here, but this truth will be found in verse 6. We know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, there's many false preachers out there. And it's been so since Paul wrote this. I always like to say, how do you know if a man's preaching the gospel? Do they talk about Christ? Do they talk about what Christ has done? Do they point you to Him? Or do they give you a whole list of things you got to do? I came out of all that stuff. Just tell me what Christ has done. Tell me about my Savior. Tell me about my King. It comforts my heart. Tell me about the work that He's done for me in my place. Oh my, it's wondrous. It's absolutely wondrous. Don't give me a list of things to do. The Lord said it's finished. He's accomplished the salvation for His people. And here's a test for you. Here's a test for you. Any preacher you listen to, who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? Does God get all the glory through the preaching? Or does the preacher get the glory? Because if the preacher gets the glory, that man's lying to you. Christ gets all the glory, beloved. He gets it all. He doesn't share it with no one. No one. So hereby we know. We know. It says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we, or we know this again, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We can tell, God's people can tell, by listening to a message, whether that man's lying to you. Because, you know, I can't even listen to preachers who lie on God anymore. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I just want to hear people that are going to preach Christ to me. Tell me again. Tell me about what the Savior's done. You know, you flip the channel on, you're flipping through the channels, and you got all kinds of guys lying on God on TV. All kinds. Just keep flipping the channel, beloved. It's not even worth your time. Not even worth it. I get so mad, I'm going to throw the thing at the TV sometimes. It's awful what these guys are saying. It's awful. It's horrendous what they're saying. It's awful. But we know, don't we? We've been taught of God. We listen for the Savior. We want to hear the gospel of God's free grace. We want to hear about what Christ has done. Don't give me anything else. Don't give me anything else. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We are of God, it says, that being true preachers, true believers in the true gospel of Christ, the Lord's people, we who are of God know and are chosen of God and hear God's word, or know the truth over error, or know it. And here's another question. How do you know that one's preaching the spirit of truth and the spirit of evil? By the question of this, I ask this to people all the time now. This is a question I ask all the time. It'll get right to the heart of the matter, beloved. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? If you're talking to someone or witnessing someone, just ask them. What think you of Christ? You'll get to the heart of the matter so fast, it'll be incredible. So quickly. And most of the time, unfortunately, they want to give you their opinion of who they think Christ is. No, tell me, what do you think of him? Well, they tell you, and you go, well, this is the Christ of the Bible. I had someone recently, well, he's a good teacher. No, he's the teacher. He's God incarnate in the flesh. He's God. So you can uncover a lot by asking that question right there. And it's our Lord who asked that question, isn't it? What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? The next truth the believer knows is found in verse 13 of chapter 4. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Remember again, he told the apostles that he would send the Comforter, which we know is the Holy Spirit of God. And John brings forth that there is now communion between God and his people, because we have the Holy Spirit in us, indwelling us, and transform. He's a transforming influence in our lives. And this is all evidence of our true salvation in Christ. The next truth I'd like us to consider, we'll read verses 16 to 19 of chapter 4. We see this and marvel at this, that God loves us. That God loves us. Now remember what our natural state is. Dead in trespasses and sins. Look at this in verses 16 to 19. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Look at verse 16. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us. We know this. We know. God's people know that God loves us. But look at this in verse 19. Marvel at this. We love him because he first loved us. That's one just to make you just marvel. Believers, confident faith and assurance of God's love in Christ is not based upon external circumstances which happen in our lives, but it's based upon the fact that God loves us with an eternal love. I'm not ever going to get over that. I'm just not. And I'm sure it's the same for you who believe. When we look back on our lives, and I mean when we look in our lives and we know what we are, what we've done, we know what we are, even as believers, we know how much of a sinner we are, and to know that God has loved me with an eternal love. It's amazing. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Beloved, faith is a gift of God, and we know the love of God for us because we believe. God's revealed that to us, isn't He? God has given us this faith to know this truth. To know this truth. And such knowledge is only attained by faith. And we know that the love of God in Christ is absolutely incredible. And no man or woman can be certain of the love and mercy of God to sinners except they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Except they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Except He be revealed to us. Matthew 11:27, the Scriptures declare this, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." That means Christ has all power. "And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." If you know Christ, it's because He's revealed Himself to you. That's amazing. And then in Him revealing Himself to us, we know that God has loved us with an eternal love. The next truth I'd like us to consider is found in verse 15. The believer in Christ knows that God hears our prayers. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Marvel at this, you who are the blood-washed, born-again saints of God. God hears your prayers. God hears your prayers. Now we're commanded in the Scripture, our Lord said that man always ought to pray and not to faint. So we're commanded to pray in the Scriptures. And we're also taught by our Lord to pray when we pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We have many examples of faithful saints of God who prayed. And we can be sure that in God's own time and way, we shall have everything that we ask for, which is in accordance to His will. That's the key. That's the key. Which is in accordance to His will. Not what we want. Because we ask amiss, too. Not what we want. But what is in accordance to His will shall be done. Be careful. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. We'll read this here. Philippians chapter 4. Paul writes about this. About bringing everything by prayer and supplication to God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And remember, God will answer that which is according to His will. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." It's never, nothing is too small to bring to our God. Remember that. But always, always remember to pray, "Lord, if it be Thy will." If it be Thy will, Lord. But nothing is too small to bring to the Lord. Nothing. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." Because we're thankful people, aren't we? We're thankful for what the Lord has done for us. We're thankful that He's redeemed us. We're thankful that we're justified by the Lord Jesus Christ before God. We're thankful that the law of God is satisfied in our place. We're thankful that the justice of God has been appeased, being poured out on Christ. We're so thankful for the things that He's done. We're thankful we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, we're so thankful. We're very thankful people. So with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's people have a peace that passes all understanding. A peace amidst the storms of life. The peace of God keeps your hearts and minds. How? Through Christ Jesus. Again, it's always through Christ. Always through Christ. Let's go back to 1 John. 1 John. John brings forth the next truth that we know. We know we're of God. And the whole world lies in wickedness. Look at verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. This is something we know. We know we're the Lord's people. We live in this world. We know that the world lies in wickedness. And this being natural man, as we're, again, all born dead in trespasses and sins. And we're born lovers of sin, aren't we? We're born lovers of sins and haters of God. That's what we're born. But then, after the Lord saves us, we become lovers of God and haters of sin. It gets flipped right around, doesn't it? It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. What comfort the blood-bought believer in Christ can glean here from this verse that we are of God. We know this. We know this. Born of God, born again of God, loved of God with an eternal love, redeemed by God, the Lord Jesus Christ is God incarnate in the flesh, called of God. We are sons of God and we are seated in Christ in the heavens. We look for a better country, don't we, beloved? We look for a better country. We know we're but passing through this world of wickedness. And because we are the people of God, we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. This world is not our home, is it? We're just a passing through. We are. We're gonna see our Savior one day. We're going to see Him. The next truths I'd like us to consider are found in verse 20. Of chapter 5, and we're closed with this verse here. There's multiple ones in here. Look at this in verse 20. And note, we know, he writes here, John writes, this is something that God's people know. And remember too, as we read this, all these truths, all these things we've looked at, there was a time when we didn't know these things. But God has revealed them to us as we've grown in the grace and knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. And we know that the Son of God has come. And hath given us an understanding. Well, just think of what we're looking at. Again, there was a time when we didn't understand the things of God. We didn't know these things. Now we know. That we may know Him that is true. Again, He must be revealed. And we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Marvel at this. Beloved of God, you who are the people of God, those whom Christ has redeemed, you who are born again of the Holy Spirit of God, marvel, marvel that you were chosen in Christ by the Father in eternity. And we know that the Son of God has come. We know that He's come to redeem us from our sins. And we also know that Christ has given us an understanding. We also know that Christ is the true God. We know these things, don't we? And we know that salvation is found only in Christ. And we know that Jesus Christ is the one true God. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life. We know these things. Is it not wonderful, beloved of God? Is this not wonderful that we know these things? We don't have to guess about these things. or assume these things. We have been taught of God and know the truth about God, about who God is. We know the truth about Christ. We know the truth about what he's done for us. We have been taught of God that salvation is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. We've been taught that Christ alone is eternal life. Rejoice. Draw great comfort, beloved of God, you who are his blood-bought people. Rejoice and be comforted. Be comforted. If you know these precious truths, there's many who do not know these truths. There's many who do not know these truths. But rejoice if you know these truths that we've looked at today, because it's God and God alone who has revealed these precious truths to you. And we can say we know these things, but only because God has taught us. And we say glory to his name. Glory to his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness again and mercy and grace towards your blood-bought people in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. As we look at what we now know as believers, and we marvel that there was a time when we did not know these things. We were dead in trespasses and sins and darkness of our sins. And oh Lord, you've revealed the Lord Jesus Christ. You've revealed yourself to us, Lord. And we marvel at that. We know that we could never have known you. Left to ourselves, we'd still be wandering around in the darkness, groping around. But oh Lord, you've revealed yourself to us. The light, we've been bought from death to life, oh Lord. And that life is only in and through you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank thee for sending our Savior, our Redeemer, to this world to purchase our eternal souls. And we thank thee for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us and points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise thee. We thank thee, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray to thee. Amen.